Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Getting our nose right in there and having a good sniff around the Monday Scrum.
And welcome, Scrummagers. Once again, Adam Peacock alongside Brent Reed and James Graham. No Aaron Woods yet again. Woodsy is preparing to take on the Dolphins on Thursday night for Manly, I dare say. But Jimmy's here. How was your round nine experience?
Good.
You sure about that? You sure?
With an element of frustration.
As always.
Yeah.
What with?
The bunker.
Oh, okay. We'll get to that. Intro ready first.
My weekend was wet. Pardon? Wet and miserable.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was at Newcastle yesterday.
Are you in Newey yesterday?
On the sideline. Even though Charlie was trying to suggest, producer Charlie was trying to suggest that I was in the corporate box. But I sent photographic evidence that I was in the sideline the entire game.
You were trying to get in the corporate box.
That's
though.
Not true.
Peter Parr was getting in touch with us
to
say that Reedy has asked.
It's a heinous allegation. You'll be hearing from my lawyers like us.
It was a pretty rough old day up there in Newey when that wind blows,
actually,
isn't it?
It wasn't that bad, to be fair.
Wasn't it?
I've been in worse, yeah.
Yeah. What was the cover of the field?
Good crowd, though. They had 16,000 there, I think.
Yeah, they love it up there.
The field chopped up a bit, yeah. Held up all right in the end.
The end there, what, they have a motocross or something there?
I've got no idea.
One end was much on the screens. It much the grass
from
much,
ground level, you couldn't really tell.
Yeah,
grew up in a corporate box, probably, but I was at ground level, Jimmy. So
yeah,
just looked green.
Yeah, on the screens, it looked like the field was completely different turf. So I don't know. Look, on a serious note, with that, the state of the pitch, if there was an injury sustained, you know, a coach would be up in arms, and on a weekend of, you know, a lot of high profile players and sustaining injuries. Look, we're at a stage now where our game can look to take that risk factor out, and I think for a team like Newcastle, which facility is normally good, they shouldn't be playing on a field like that.
This is the thing, though, and I experienced it in my other life following football in this country, the multi-use venues, all owned by a government, all put on and run as businesses, they just accept all comers in terms of concerts over summer.
But Brookvale, I can remember playing at Brookvale and coming off that field. I've still got a photo somewhere, and I am caked in mud, like absolutely caked in it. When it used to rain there, it was a bog.
Yeah,
and you would be like, okay, well, we're legitimately going to have to change how we play here because the surface is that bad.
But just think of the word. Like the word Brookvale, what's halfway through it? There, producer Charlie, look at it. Just come out of trench warfare. Look at you.
Brookvale's now one of arguably the best surface in the comp.
Exactly. So my point is this, is like they changed.
They
have to adapt, even though it's, you know, there's plenty of excuses you can hang your hat on. But at the end of the day, this is a $1 billion industry plus where you've got superstars with a higher degree of risk of injury.
Yeah.
And it's, you
can't do anything though. They can't turn down the money from these concerts.
I don't think the surface was that bad, Adam. I know it chopped up a little bit, but I didn't think it was that bad.
I think we got away. But you know, just because an event didn't happen, I think the significant risk of injury is increased. Yeah, we saw Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. It affected the quality of the football as well. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck arguably could have been involved more. When he comes at you and he puts that footwork on, there was times he was just almost slipping.
He did one, and he took out like one of Reedy's 9-iron divots. It was like a, God, that's where the meteor hit when they killed off the dinosaurs.
It takes away from the product and the spectacle, and also it increases the risk of injury, which I think it's something that in future we shouldn't have to deal with.
Wait until you get to what the surface is going to be like. If we cop another week of rain in Sydney, if you're listening to this around the rest of the country, around the world, I'm sure there are scrummages everywhere, Sydney is just going to cop it again this week. There's a Waratahs game on Saturday night before the Roosters play the Warriors on Sunday at Allianz. And there's an A-League game on Friday night. That's going to look like my face when I was 15.
Well, I think the surface there is pretty good though as well.
Yeah.
There's only
They've invested enough money into that.
Yeah.
Should have done what they did at Real Madrid. See what they did? They built a like something underneath that protects the grass. So they zoom out the soccer pitch and put it underneath for when they want to have concerts or NFL games, and they swap it out and they put a synthetic surface.
That's what they do in Vegas, the Allegiant Stadium. It's got a synthetic surface. They roll out the grass, put it out in the sunlight before the game, roll it in. Takes about an hour and a half from memory.
Mm. Yeah, so the banner, well, with the Vegas Stadium, that's a new one. The banner bar is an older one. So if they've
got just redid it.
Oh, they've just redone it.
Oh, the last 12 months. So it's an amazing.
Oh, they've not redone the stadium, though.
Done
the
everything.
But in terms of it's an older venue, so it's possible to do with it being an, you don't need to be like, oh, we're going to make a new ground, a new stadium.
You can redo.
It can be done with existing stadium. It doesn't need to be this knockdown rebuild.
There we go. We just need places underground to grow grass and more of it legally, of course, in Australia. The bunker. So, guys, where do we start with this?
Can I just make the point, and I make this every time we talk about the bunker.
Yeah.
The issue isn't the bunker. The issue is the bloke in the bunker or the woman in the bunker.
Yep.
The issue is not the technology. No. It's the person.
Well, I was going to get to that.
It is. You're right. Like the bunker adds to our game.
Mm.
We get more decisions correct and avoid controversial, incorrect decisions that people would still talk about years after the event in things like grand finals, state of origins, big games. So the bunker adds to that decision making and more correct ones, which I think everybody would want in sport, in any sport. It's the actual decisions that were made on the weekend, which is the real...
Well, the one you called yesterday for Triple M, I mean, RIP penalty tries, because if that wasn't a penalty try, there's never going to be another one.
Well, here's the two options.
I've got to think about this, so I disagree with you, but anyway.
It's either, a penalty try or it's a sin bin. Either way, the Warriors benefit from that. It's not penalty sufficient.
Yeah.
I actually don't think it's a penalty try.
Was it?
Because penalty tries...
Is it a sin bin then?
Well, that potentially, yeah. But if he had somehow allowed Dallin to catch that ball and then got to him as Dallin touched the ground, there was a chance he could have got to him and stopped the try anyway.
Yep.
So it was not a lay down as their try.
You could go back 25 years and say the same thing in that Melbourne grand final with Craig Smith and Jamie Ainsco. If he didn't try to whack him in the head, he could have got underneath him and held him up.
But that was a try that didn't take place because of foul play. Hit him in the head. This wasn't foul play.
It was foul play. It was a penalty.
In the air.
Well, it's not foul play, though.
Well, it's foul because
has he been charged? Has he been charged over it? No, it's not foul play. It's not foul play. It wasn't foul play.
Okay.
It wasn't foul play. It's completely different. It's illegal play. It's not foul play, though. Craig Smith one was foul play. He hit him in the head.
Okay.
There's a difference.
All right. So you're arguing there's a difference. For me, there's two options there, penalty try or sin bin. Either way, the Warriors benefit more than what they did on the game.
If he'd binned him, Jimmy, I wouldn't have had an issue.
Okay, yeah.
Because he's prevented potentially a try being scored. So I wouldn't have had an issue.
But again, we're arguing over two things that didn't happen.
Yes.
The thing that actually did happen isn't even on our plate. Yeah. Isn't even on the tick which box, selection panel, whichever you want. Where I'm saying maybe penalty try, you're saying sin bin. At no point is anybody going, oh, that's just a penalty. Mm. Okay.
And you look at the Aiden Caesar one as well, where it's not a sin bin, but it's a 4-week holiday. So there's
well, they
and
that,
I know
they got that wrong.
I know the MRP totally are totally different. But
why are they getting that wrong?
I don't know, Jimmy. I don't know. Because
I think
I guess
back to your point about people.
People,
so
there's not consistent. You have different people in the box in the bunker at different weeks. They've got different opinions on things. That's just life, right? You're gonna have inconsistencies. The other thing I hate in our game is how we always talk about we need consistency. You're never gonna get it because people are inconsistent. We can't even agree on whether that was a penalty try or a sin bin or at the weekend. You're not gonna get consistency because people aren't consistent. One person is inconsistent from week to week. We're talking about multiple people. It's never going to happen.
I agree with you, but unfortunately, there's a number of decisions that the bunker have made that are fundamentally just wrong.
Well, that one was that not sin-bidding Aiden Caesar. That's a black and white decision that clearly they got completely wrong. Clearly, that's a sin-bidding.
And
based
is that on the ref?
Seen.
Because the ref can see it.
Well, he would have taken a ref. I think
she's getting the information.
He would have taken
She?
She would have taken a recommendation, would have thought from the bunker. So,
but you don't need a recommendation. You just look at the big screen. Oh, yeah. That was a bad one. Off you go.
But you're also relying on the bunker who's having a closer look at it and probably giving you
well, here's more the thing with the bunker. The great Warren Smith tweeted last night that 7 different officials were in charge of the video system over the 8 games on a weekend.
There you go. You're never going to have a consistency. Never going to have it.
No, and that's fine, but we can have a framework.
You're going to have it with that 4, though? Is, 4 over the 8? Sorry, yeah.
No, probably not. You probably wouldn't even get consistency with 1.
You're
going to
have more consistency, though.
Well, you can you can have a better framework or better education and training around, like, decision-making. Like,
would you put your hand up to do it?
Oh,
I'd love it. No, you wouldn't?
No way.
I do think they're missing a trick, though. That the people like us, especially the experts as well, get them in there for a night. Get them in there, not to do anything, just to kind of evaluate. Because I find as well with the concussion thing, I honestly believe that they should film one of those concussion tests happening and say, this is what happens in a concussion test. HIA.
In terms of information for the general punter. In terms of what you're saying, I can't remember who the boss of the NRL was at the time, but they did some education pieces with the players.
Yep.
So there was a ref cam. Remember when the referees had those little cameras on their head for a time? And they'd come and present to the group. I think I was at the Bulldogs at the time. And they said, okay, this situation happens here a couple of years ago. Is that a loose carry or a strip over to you players based off this available angle from the referee's camera? And the room is split almost 50-50.
Oh, really?
Some say it's a strip. Yeah. Some say it's a loose carry. On those types of calls, I think everybody in the game can accept that it's a very difficult to judge. And sometimes there's no right or wrong answer.
Mm.
That's fine. We can agree with that. We can live with that human error. We can live with the level of consistency. There's sometimes I look at it and go, well, hang on a minute. Why would Matt, like there was one on the weekend, I can't recall the situation, but a winger coming out of trouble gets pulled for a loose carry. I'm like, you've got to use your common sense. My player, if I'm the captain going, my player's not going to have a loose carry there because they're going to be super protective of the ball. Anyway, we'll live with that. It's the shockers.
Yeah, the howler.
Howlers that you just go, how are they making these decisions?
But it's down to, as Reedy says, it's not cricket where they can line up Hawkeye and say, is it going to hit the stumps or not? That takes interpretation out of it.
It does, but it's incompetence. And how do you how do you change that? How do you get better decisions? How do you get better decisions more often?
Yeah, they need to strip the talent pool. If they're using 7 over 8 games, is too big. They should be using 4 over 8 games, in my opinion. And I know that some refs ref a game and then they'll go into the bunker and do it. They do the same in the Premier League with their VAR. A guy could be refing a Manchester derby and the next day he's in the VAR room.
Do you know how many they use, Adam? How many they?
Oh, they got a massive pool.
They're not perfect either. This is always going to be the issue with technology. You just want, if we're using the technology, which we can all agree adds to our game, makes more decisions more accurately, more of the time. But it's just the decision makers are just not competent at the moment or seem to be.
Yeah. It's we're the only sport that there's no issue with technology on a consistent basis is tennis because there's no face to the. With the technology. It's purely a computer. Yeah, there is no human. You go, who was the video ref on that call? Well, there wasn't. It was just automated.
And also in tennis, it's either in or it's not.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
With ours, it could be a sin bin or just a penalty or a try.
The rugby league rule book, like a lot of these contact sports, like a lot of team sports, there's a interpretation attached to.
It's like Groundhog that day, though, Adam. We're always during the season.
Yeah, it's about round 9, isn't it?
We're always talking about referees or the bunker or video officials. It's the same every year. And, you know, eventually it sorts itself out and we get on. The footy origin comes around, then the finals arrive and we get through the year and We look forward to the next year.
Speaking
it's a pretty
of,
consistent issue.
All right, so should we just pack up and go home or delete the... or just replay this. We don't next year when this is happening, just replay
fuel
this.
Fuel up and then just go, around for another lap.
Maybe we've just got to learn to live with it. Yeah. And, I mean, not accept it, not look, try to get better with it, but maybe just accept that there are going to be times during the season where we are going to have refereeing issues.
Yes.
And they'll sort it out because they have in the past.
Mm.
I still haven't seen a grand final decided by a bad refereeing decision from memory.
And in fact, flip side, last year you had one of the great refereeing performances in a grand final.
So.
Because we barely talked about the referee, did we, after the game. Newcastle. So you guys, you're up there ready and your wind cheater and your...
rain jacket, my umbrella.
Your Wellington boots.
Yeah.
And you saw the Warriors just come up with another strange one. But flip side, Newcastle, without Ponga...
Yeah.
Gamble, Hastings, Armstrong as their 1-6-7. Just find a way to get it done. Just grind out a win.
Play tough. Mm-hmm. And they have been playing tough the last couple of weeks and doing really well because the key for them is I spoke to Kalen before the game. And he said he'd be back in 10 weeks. He said if we can get through this 10 weeks and win five or more games, we're going to be right in the mix. And then he comes back and, they can look forward to the finals and have a bit of momentum. So they've already won two games without him. Young Armstrong's doing a good job. They're just playing tough at the moment, which, good for them.
And it was the conditions to do
that
yesterday, wasn't it, James?
Also, I've got to give Newcastle credit because not only without Ponga, and really you spoke about their style of play, playing tough, without them, their toughest forward, and Tyson Frizzell as well, over the past 2 weeks.
And Jacob Saifiti as well.
And Jacob Saifiti. So, but I think Frizzell is that real standout for them. Every week I've watched them play, and if they're underperforming, he overperforms. They've really simplified things watching them. They've got an emphasis now on completion and grinding, not too dissimilar to how Canberra started the season that, we're not going to beat ourselves. We're going to complete really high. We're going to play the percentages and we're going to do all the little things well. We're not going to, like Ponga, Canberra do that because they don't have that superstar.
Yep.
And Newcastle now have adopted because they don't have that superstar to go to. So they're playing to their strengths at the moment. I've got to say, Lucas is playing out of his skin. I've been so impressed with him coming in and they just play a more of a grinding style of football, and they rely on Greg Marjou to get them out of some trouble at the back. He was really good last night. He can be a bit rocks and diamonds under the high ball. Thought with the weather, he was first class yesterday.
He's good. Yeah.
You look at the difference between how Newcastle have handled adversity thrown at them in Kalen Ponga being out, and what they can rely on, and what the coach can then go to the players and say, I need this from you. We're going to play like this, but you have to buy in totally because you're going to wear a couple of bruises in doing it, as opposed to a team like Souths, who in terms of, reaction to resilience, haven't quite come up, have they? And we saw it again on Thursday night that they were there, and then all of a sudden it was like a balloon being popped.
But were they?
Oh, like first 20, you thought physically.
They've been in games first 20 all year, though.
Yeah.
If you look at there was some stats that came out on social media, and they're actually accurate. Their first 20.
You sound surprised that they were accurate on social media.
Their first 20 this year, they've actually won. They're ahead. Yeah. But their last 20 of each half, they've been absolutely demolished in the last 20 of each half, which they don't look fit. I mean, they don't play fit. They don't look fit.
Are they mentally fit or physically
fit?
And
also,
a bit of both. I don't know.
And also, like, Isaac Tango gets simbined, and that's when they put their points on. Like, that's like credit to Souths, like that, but that's no coincidence.
Yeah. But they took advantage of a situation that they could maybe take advantage of. But yeah, I don't want to make it about Souths. It's actually the opposite. The flip side of a team like Newcastle, where they don't have every right because they're still professional rugby league players. So they've got to rock up, and I'm sure you wouldn't cop that excuse, Jimmy, but the way that they've reacted to it is damn impressive. Just the little things that they're all getting, the stuff that you don't really notice anyway, that they're getting right.
Yeah, it comes from the coaching staff to have that. I think you work with what you've got and you don't dwell on what you don't have, and you come up with a game plan to suit the players. Like the best coaches are adaptable, and they don't just come in and say, well, this is how we've got to play. And it'd be easy to go, okay, Ponga's out, let's bring this Armstrong kid in and let's just continue and hope that he can replicate that. That's never going to be able to happen. But it's been credit to O'Brien and credit to the players to adopting their style, like Hastings and Gamble. They play a bit more of the percentages now. They don't have that go-to person out the back that they just give the ball and go watch him go. Like,
yeah.
Ponga's game against the Roosters just the week before he got injured, they looked like a one-man team.
Yeah.
Like he was everything for them. Like, they had almost nothing without him. I think when you watch a game like that, Ponga takes over Tabrovic in terms of the most important players. The singular most important player for any team's chance of victory. But for them to go from that to where they're at now, it's impressive.
Very impressive. Flip side, Warriors. They touched up South at Saturday Arvo. Draw Manly. I was just checking this right then. Draw Manly and then lost three games against teams that ordinarily, or not ordinarily, at the start of the season, they would have thought, yeah, we're a good chance of finishing above them on the ladder in St. George Illawarra, Gold Coast, and then Newcastle. Next, Roosters away, then Penrith at home. What did you get sitting there on the sideline and seeing them, you know, their body language and noise coming from the bench?
Well, their first 15-20 was diabolical. I mean, they were awful. They just didn't turn up ready to play. A month ago, we thought they could win the comp, but the wheels have completely fallen off, and I don't know why. I mean, I think Johnson hasn't really taken control like we thought he would, we hoped he would, and they're battling, they're treading water at the moment. It's bizarre because at times they look amazing, outstanding.
They've got all their players, don't they, at the moment?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure everyone's. Oh, the only bloke they're missing is Metcalf, six, right?
Yeah.
But Tamari Martin's doing a reasonable job. I wonder, is it time to move Roger and flip Roger and Charns?
It is. Their go-to is their right edge, where they look to shift the ball. There was moments in yesterday's game where I couldn't believe they didn't go left, but bearing in mind who they've got there. So they favour that right side because it really worked for them last season as well. Johnson would go with that shape. But just, they're not playing to their strengths at the moment. And I think, like, Roger will always get involved in the centre. And I know Roger came and he's very selfless.
Yep.
But I think it's almost like Roger won't go and knock on the door and say, hey, Andrew, get me at number one.
Yep.
I think that's a call the coach has got to do for the betterment of the team. Those two need to switch. Roger needs more involvement.
It feels like he needs more ball, doesn't it, Roger? Because he looks threatening when he gets it. He just doesn't really, and he doesn't get it in. He's not like at fullback, he hits it.
Yeah.
And
he's not getting it in space.
Whilst he seems to be, people are just all over him when he gets the ball.
And he's too good, and he's too fit, and he's too valuable to be that centre that you just give early ball to.
Yeah.
Because, he'll make damaging runs.
Yeah.
But, you know, with where he's at, because we know he can play there, you know, he's not one of those players where, like, I wonder what he'd be like at a fullback. Or he's one of those good, young, up-and-coming players that have ambitions to play fullback.
Mm.
The evidence is there that he can, and he does it so well. So I think they've got to make that change.
North Queensland, though, they're another team.
They lost four in a row?
Stinking it up, yeah. So they got touched up by Brisbane. They beat the Gold Coast. Then they've gone lost Para, lost Sharks, lost Penrith, lost Dolphins on the weekend. I don't know if you heard Toddy Payton after the game, but he basically said he is pig sick of his side being just so flippant.
Basically they can't defend back-to-back sets.
No, that you have to do it over. And he said it over and over and over and over. And it kept on going. He's basically, he's banging his head against the wall about how it sounded like a coach saying that his team's taking the easy option.
We had this issue last year. The same issue where defensively they weren't great. And he's had the whole off-season to work on it. I think we saw the first 3 weeks or so the Cowboys are back. Yeah. But
are they the?
They've been awful.
I don't know if they
were. A lot of talent.
I thought, you know, the win against the Dolphins, they jagged that win against the Knights.
It was the softest draw.
I wasn't like overly impressed with them. They got victories. And I think even Payton had said, like, we need to improve. And teams have cottoned on to that. And I don't know. They seem like a team that is attack focused, and they play like a team that's attack focused.
Well, I was going to ask you, Jimmy. Like, is it sometimes hard when things aren't going well? You're searching for one or two reasons about like a primary reason why it's going wrong. But if it's just a little bit from everywhere, it's like a micro fracture as opposed to just a straight break. It's like, oh God, how do we fix this?
Because
it's just a little bit here and a little bit there. Do you get the feeling that's the case at the Cowboys, or is it something that's blaring at you that's wrong?
I just think it's an attitude to defense issue.
A soft underbelly, Jimmy?
Not even soft underbelly. I just don't. I think they're a team that I think are happy to win
26-25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or yeah. We'll score more than you. That's watching the Cowboys, it looks like it's okay. We'll just score more than you. It's not we're going to defend our way to victory. We'll just score more than you.
Mm.
And that's fine.
Can
if
you
that's
fix
it,
that within a season, Jimmy? Was that the thing you had to work on over an off season? Like, can you fix that? Fix that during the run of 26 or 27 rounds? 25? What do we play? 27.
It's difficult. You sort of need a bit of personnel that are a bit more focused on the defensive side of the game. If you look at their players, that a lot of attacking minded players, a lot of players that are known for their attack.
Mm-hmm.
So it is difficult, and almost you kind of hang your hat on your recruitment. It's like, well, we're this attacking minded team, and that's fine. But you've also got to understand that this will beat you 30-24 is going to catch up with you sometimes, or it is going to catch you out, I should say.
Let's have a wider view of the weekend, shall we? Now.
The WTF moment.
I mean, it might be wider, but it might just be straight down the path of rugby league. I'm not sure, James. You usually pluck something from another realm of life.
For WTF moment, yes. Yeah. Well, I have gone to another sport. It's Jürgen Klopp's parting.
He's done a lot of EPL ones this year, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he loves it.
Yeah. Well, he's referred to the 12:30 Saturday afternoon kickoff as a crime.
So 3 p.m. usual kickoff, sometimes later for TV. There's another TV company who has rights, and they can allot games for 12:30 kickoff, which is great here in Australia because it's 9:30 at night here.
Yeah,
but not great for Jürgen because I think he likes his breakfast and all that to kind of settle a bit before he gets to Anfield.
Well, he has referred to it as the breakfast kickoff. Like some of the things he says in jest, and he's joking. He's a manager with a bit of personality, which I really enjoy, to be fair, even though I'm an Everton fan. He jokingly said he's going to get Amnesty International involved. first thing, 12:30 kickoff breakfast, mate. What are you doing? Is this some sort of extreme fasting regime he's running? But also, it's interesting how the term crime.
Yeah.
The reason that the kickoff is 12:30, I'm going to, Adam, you're wrong. It's not the TV company.
What is it?
It's the police.
Oh, yeah, some games.
So
the
police have to have it.
So fans can't kick seven shades out of each other before.
Well, not. They limit their alcohol intake before the game. So it's funny he's mentioned it's a crime on the players. Oh. It's actually done to prevent crime. Yeah. So
mate, it's an eye-opener over there.
It really is. But it's the price you pay when the finances are so important.
Yeah,
Liverpool, you could argue, are disproportionately affected by that early kickoff. But, you know, over here in Australia, the TV networks determine the kickoff schedule and the roster schedule. And that's fine because we understand the contribution that they make. But over there in England, it's the police that often dictate the time of kickoff. So that was my WTF moment. I must say, Jürgen Klopp, but it was just an interesting parting shot. I think he described himself as a man on his way out kind of thing. So, that was my WTF moment.
I once went to a game over there, Reedy, where it was Celtic away. They were playing in a place called Livingston.
Yes.
And the ground is called the Tony Macaroni Arena. They call it the Spaghetti Head because it's a chain of Italian restaurants that are thing. But the ground is a tiny little ground, and right next to it is this big car park with a Tesco there. So all the Celtic fans, and it was a 12 o'clock kickoff for TV purposes. It wasn't a rivalry thing. I got there with my son about 10 o'clock. These boys had just got in the car, 45-minute drive from Glasgow, and they dead set kicked out about 10 empty cans of John Smith's when they got out of the car. And then they had another four or five cans each. And I'm talking the big, the tradie Red Bull cans, big. And they've hopped out and they were just loaded and it was 10 a.m.
That's an experience the Celtic away. I went to a game at Stirling, I think.
Yeah.
Or Celtic play, yeah. Sat with the Celtic fans.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that was something different.
Mad.
That's an unusual characteristic for the scallywag football fan. Normally, you just throw your cans on the floor in the passenger seat. And
that's where they were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But at least they took them out. Yeah. Like normally, I know.
They were the full ones that they still were going to drink.
Oh, they're still going. Oh, right. I thought they were getting rid of their empties. I was like, no one's bothered about kicked, that when you've had a few.
Some fell out when he moved his feet out of the passenger side. So anyway, that's sorry, Rick.
I'm going to stick with rugby league.
Okay, good stuff.
And look, we all love Ryan Papenhuyzen, and we'll talk about his injury later. Really devastating. I mean, it's not too bad. So that's the good news. But I'll tell you who I love, Sua Fa'alongo.
Oh, yeah.
And did you see his footwork on the weekend for that try? He is ridiculously good. If you've been watching him, he's been playing a bit of New South Wales Cup. I think he's played two games I've seen and scored four tries, and they've all been absolute stunners.
So he came on, he played a couple last year,
He played one game last year.
Against the Broncos?
Broncos game. And was unbelievable.
So they've been patient there, haven't they, Melbourne?
Well, he's had some injuries early in the year. I would have thought he would have been on the bench early in the year, but he's had some injuries.
Yep.
So he hasn't played a lot of football. And he only came back last week in New South Wales Cup from another injury. And apparently he's picked up another little knock.
He came off early.
Yeah, in the game on the weekend.
With a knee.
But, man, if this kid can get a stretch in first grade.
He signed a five-year deal.
He's so good.
He has. But I think there's a little bit of... If Paps extends there, which could happen, I think there's a little bit of wriggle room with him.
Could they loan him out?
So he's got a Papenhuyzen clause?
I don't think he's got a clause, but I think they've got an agreement that...
A Pappy clause.
That, if Paps extends out, then they'll have a discussion.
Remember they did that with Harry Grant. They said, I'll go off on loan, essentially, to West Tigers and then come back.
But, man, he's dynamite. And that move he put on, I can't remember who he put it on.
Smith Shields.
Smith
Shields,
Turned him inside out.
Mate, that was smart play from the Storm. They got them on the scrum play on the right side, and then Gold Coast adjusted the next scrum far long ago. Oh, mate, that was a...
Do you know what that's like? It's like it's time to get off the dance floor type move. It's like you see someone else come on and they just cut it up like that, and you go, see you later, I'm out of here.
The kids call them ankle breakers, don't they? He broke his ankle. But he'll, if he gets a stretch in first grade, just him hovering around the middle of the ruck with some of the offloads from those Storm forwards, he's going to be dynamite.
Ned Brockman is my WTF moment of the week. He's released his plans for his next big fundraiser, and he's going to, everyone's going to kick the tin for this guy, and he's going to raise millions and millions yet again. But he's going to run he wants to break the record for, I think it's 1,600 kilometres, 1,000 miles. So he's going to run it in 10 days, which is, break it down,
160 k's a day. Marathons.
He's going to do it at Sydney Olympic Park. He's got to do 403 laps of the track a day. WTF.
What's your body like after doing that? How broken are you?
What about your study of feet?
Feet. Oh.
What about your mind?
That's a lot of podcasts.
That's a lot of,
Charlie, send him the link.
Imagine just running around Olympic Park. You've got to extend it out. You've got to go, you've got to get some variability. You've got to get something new to see.
How many pairs of shoes do you think you'd go through?
Oh, a couple a day, surely.
Man.
So he's going to raise $10 million to help Aussies experiencing homelessness. In the process, he's going to do it on October 3. So around grand final
time.
That's
around grand final time, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be doing it on grand and he's going to get so much publicity what he did.
Hopefully he doesn't ruin the field.
Yeah. Just stay.
He might run laps while the game's going on.
Yeah.
They should do it. Yeah. They should get him as part of the grand final.
Half-time entertainment comes in.
Yeah. Runs four laps.
Shuffling around Cliffy Young. Anyway, because they used to run these, you weren't around here in Australia at the time, James, they used to run these ultra marathons from... They used to do this marathon from Sydney to Melbourne. There was two blokes who were always contenders. It was Cliffy Young, some potato farmer from Tasmania.
I know the story.
He looked about 120 years old.
Shuffle.
And the great Yiannis Kouros.
Yes, there you go.
The Greek god.
No one remembers Yiannis.
Oh, yeah. It was always Cliffy. But
Cliffy for the shuffle.
I think Yiannis got all the records in the end.
Yeah. Well, didn't the potato farmer, no one told him he could stop, right?
No, that was that was Forrest Gump.
No, no, there was something like that. He said, like, you can't. Yeah,
yeah. There's a story of a farmer entering an ultramarathon race. He didn't know he could stop, and he won.
That might have been Cliffy.
Yeah. Great stuff.
On that bombshell.
Injuries. Speaking of, surely Ned ends up with a couple. But so Pappenhausen, I don't know if this was going to be part of your mail, really, but bombed it anyway. 4-6 with his ankle, which
not
is best
too bad
case.
Given the injuries he's had and the concern I think everyone had when you first saw him reach for that leg and start limping. So not too bad, hopefully.
Cam Murray, Mr. Reliable, 8 weeks, hip flexor. That sounds like a bad one. He's done something significant. And Adam Reynolds, as soon as he did it, busted wing. So 3 months. So not a complete disaster for Brisbane, but not good.
I reckon,
way.
Though, if they're in the, as long as they make the eight and he comes back and he's back at the end of the year, they've got enough talent. I think they can, they are one side that can win it from outside the four.
So who goes halfback?
Well, Jock Madden will come in, I'd imagine. Yeah. And then
Sailor, maybe?
Well, Jock's played, though. I mean, I would imagine it'd be Jock Madden and Ezra Mam in the halves.
But is this an audition for Ezra Mam to become the seven once Reynolds does eventually retire and next year, the year after?
Well, potentially. Potentially, yeah. They've got a young half coming through the system. His name's Kobe Black.
Is he the kid that was took part in the 130
WTF the other week, wasn't he?
I didn't realise it was him.
Yeah. I don't think he's quite ready yet. Okay. Yeah, they've got really high hopes for him down the track.
Yeah. Well, he's got to come up in a game where maybe the opposition can stop what he's doing a couple of times rather than
challenge him a bit.
Scoring every second set.
Yeah. But I reckon they'll be all right, the Bronx. I think they've got enough firepower still that they'll win enough games. Finishing, you know, Adam comes back with 3 or 4 weeks to go. They finish in the bottom half of the eight, and I reckon they can make a charge.
Mm. Who's the biggest blow out of that lot?
Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at Pappenhausen, he's covered by far longer. I think South season's done anyway, so Murray leaving is, it's just another bad blow when it is an awful season for Souths, but, you know, they're not going to challenge for the eight. Maguire on the other side, on the other hand, though, for New South Wales, he'll want to see him be available for Origin 2. Reynolds is the big blow. We see the difference he makes with his kicking game and his organisational skills.
The other night I was watching that. I wonder what Jack Whiten does with his representative future, because the talk is, isn't it, Reedy, that Michael Maguire is going to have a word to him and if he's going to be available. But does Jack Whiten now look at it and go, I want to stay out of it because I've got to help South all I can. I'm the big name recruit. Or actually, it's going to be a good thing for me and South because it'll give me a different environment to operate in. I'm going to come back better.
I wonder where he fits in that Origin team, though, because I think Steve Crichton and Tommy will be your centres.
Mm.
I don't know whether Jack
was year six.
He's not an automatic selection. Well, you've got Mitch Moses, Nico Hines, Jerome Luai, all for the sixth year. Matt Burton, even sort of making a little low. I don't think the other three are ahead of him.
Is he 14 or is Cam McInnes looking likely for that role?
I would have thought Cam McInnes is more likely. So, you know, I don't think there's a sense of urgency around Jack at the moment to maybe if they have more injuries, then Michael Maguire knocks on his door and says, mate, would you reconsider? But I don't think at the moment Jack walks into that team. What do you reckon, Jimmy?
Well, he's pondering life over there. Hang on.
I don't know if you can. I don't think for both Jack and Latrell, they can put South Sydney first at the moment. I think if they want to do that, they make themselves available and play State of Origin.
Really?
I think that helps South in the long run. Okay. I think you've almost got to put a line through this season and say it's done.
Yep.
So give some of their better players some positivity, something to be happy about.
Latrell's back this weekend.
He's back this week,
To almost remind them of what the good times can feel like and how it's worth fighting for.
Yeah.
For me, with Jack, I said this yesterday. I think I remember when he was first came to South Sydney, and obviously they had Isaiah Tass and Camel Graham. It's like, well, where's this guy going to play? And you've got Cody and you've got Ilias, and they said maybe on an edge. I don't know about that. I think they need to move him to the middle with Murray being out. Yep. They need
put
someone.
Lock.
Yeah. Put him at lock. Someone with a bit of ticker. Mm. Someone that's just going to care and do things like when people say the name Jack Whiten, like, why is he in State of Origin? Because he's a baller. He's a footballer.
Yeah.
Like, that's his go-to. Like, and he cares about the results. Like, you see, he plays with a lot of passion. Like, even, you know, South Sydney lose, He's the one fronting up, talking to us after the game, and you can see the hurt in you can hear the hurt in his voice. And I think put him closer to the ball. People say put him closer to the ball, play him 5-8, and put Cody at half. No, put him at lock.
Yeah. Because they're getting destroyed without the ball. They're getting destroyed through that middle third. Yeah. Like they're right through the middle. In the
someone,
ruck.
Someone that's going to be verbal. Someone that's going to drag a few people with them.
Yeah. Indeed. Is this the mailman on the horizon? I can hear the dogs barking.
Read about it. Read about it. Read his mail.
Left the obvious one out. David Fifita, that's the headline that's news out of
story.
Sunday
interesting
to Monday.
To see what happens with Dave. He's got that round 10 option. I've said on this show a couple of times that I thought Dave was going to re-sign. Obviously, Penrith, well, not re-sign, take up his option.
Extend, yep.
But, you know, obviously Penrith's thrown a bit of a spanner in the works because they're a pretty alluring club if you're a footballer at the moment. I would imagine Dave would have to take a pretty significant haircut to go there because he's on $1 million on the Gold Coast. And Penrith aren't going to give Dave $1 million. I would imagine 700-800's the most he could get out of Penrith.
How long has he got to make this decision?
He's got till the start of round 10, so Thursday night?
Thursday night. Wow.
Yeah, so he's left it late.
Is it the start of the actual round, or is it the start of Gold Coast game?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Give him an extra couple of days.
I think it's the start of the round, but...
Kickoff time, 8 p.m. Suncorp Stadium. Dolphins Manly has huge ramifications for the Gold Coast Titans and Penrith.
Well, and there were some other... Obviously, Canberra was sniffing around Dave as well. And, you know, Dave wanted to put things on the back burner, get some wind. Well, he was hoping to get his best form back for the Gold Coast and help them win some footy games. That's sort of, I mean, Dave's been playing pretty good footy in his defence, but obviously the Gold Coast haven't won a lot of games.
Is he your Harden 8 and 10, James Fisher-Harris?
No, they play him on the edge. They play him on the edge and reshuffle things, I would imagine.
Again, with Penrith, we don't fully know. You see a bit of New South Wales Cup, but you don't fully know what's about to spin off the production line out there. So, you know, it's going to be something good because they're going okay in all the junior grades again.
I'd like to see him stay on the Gold Coast, though. I mean, you know, I think they've obviously had a really tough start to the year, but if they lose Dave, then you've got Tino. Tino's got options in his contract as well.
Yeah.
I think from next year, Tino can start looking around. You imagine they lose Dave and Tino. That'll devastate the place.
Mm. Yeah.
And they've got great owners. You know, that club's got Rebecca Frizzell and Daryl Kelly are two of the great owners of rugby league, really committed to the footy club, really committed to the region. And I'd just like to see Dave stay there. And he's got an option again for next year. You know, give Des 12 months and then, you know, if you still feel like you want to leave, he's got the same option, I believe, next year. So, you know, then he can go.
I think for the competition's sake, we all want him to stay in Gold Coast and help this rebuild of the Titans because we know how valuable it is. And if there's one place you don't want him to go, it's the back-to-back champions. It's like, really?
Yeah.
It's funny, a lot of people are whinging on social media about it, saying how can they afford it, but they have lost James Fisher-Harris, and they've had a stream of players have lost in recent years. So, yeah. I mean, the cap stuff's a non-entity for me. I mean, it's pretty clear how they can afford to get Dave there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Fisher-Harris was on about $1 million, so they can sign Dave with some money left over.
There you go. What else?
Another signing, Angus Crichton. Obviously, we've spoken about him before as well. I think we talked about him last week. He was waiting. He's been in talks with Montpellier in French rugby. He was waiting to see what panned out. But there's now a little door ajar at the Roosters. There'll be a meeting this week between Angus's management and the Roosters.
A little door? They've got $4 million open in the cap.
Yeah, I know that. But they were looking at keeping him because they've obviously got a lot of back rowers. Tupanua, Siwa Wong, Nat Butcher. You know, they're overloaded in the back row. But given the way Angus has been playing, he's been one of their best, if not the best player, the last few weeks. His talk is back in the Origin mix. You know, there'll be a discussion this week about whether there's an opportunity potentially for Angus to stay at the Roosters beyond this year, even if it's on a short-term deal. So I reckon we'll know a bit more this week about Angus. And I think they'd be mad to let Angus go the way he's going.
Mate, he was sensational on the weekend. Mate, him up against Jordan Rickey. Mate, like I really like Jordan Rickey. Angus.
All over him.
Tailed him.
Yeah, he did. Mm.
If he was a Queenslander, would he be in your favourite? You were getting the, and this is the time of year, everyone. Early May, where all these Queenslanders get out their violin set.
We get a lot.
And it becomes
players
a
out.
Symphony. Here
got
we go.
A lot of players
yeah,
out.
I told you.
We're devastated.
Have we got a violin
we
sound
might struggle
effect somewhere?
We might struggle to pick a squad. To be fair.
Oh, you just call it. Postpone the first game. You call it.
That'd be
maybe
nice.
A forfeit.
Can we do that?
Forfeit it.
We've got a lot of players that we're decimated.
We're getting
at the
Ned Brockman to run laps. Instead of playing Origin 1.
Long shots to win this Origin series, given the amount of players we've got out.
Shit. Listen to this absolute.
We're battling.
Garbage.
Ponga's out as well.
Ponga. Flegler's at sideline at the moment. Tino's out.
Every year, May, I'm telling you, everyone.
There's more.
The little violin gets brought out. There it is.
Tommy Gilbert. Oh, my God.
You wouldn't think that these Queenslanders are cultured in the way that, you know, they're picking up symphonies written by 17th century Austrian composers, but here they are.
I look forward to the story about the worst Origin team ever getting written about Queensland. We've got
can
so
you,
many players out.
Can you ban Dean Ritchie from writing a freaking word
can't
in the lead up
Bulldog.
To that, please? Anything else?
Yeah, Gus has come out this morning and said he's going to take on the NRL.
Oh, here we go. Gus v. the world.
Their fine he copped last week, $20,000 fine for labelling the game stupid and real stupid and rule maker stupid. But he was on the Today Show this morning, Gus, and he's ready to fight. He's going to get his lawyers.
He put out a call on Twitter saying, anyone know a good lawyer? On,
a couple of
on the weekend.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So anyway, we'll see what happens there because there's a bit of a, I was going to say a love-hate relationship, but it's a hate-hate relationship between Gus and the NRL. And this will, I imagine, just amplify things. So
100% footage should be interesting.
He's digging in for a fight. And just quickly on South, look, the Bennett thing, again, it hasn't really progressed. They put things off over the weekend while they played. They'll put an offer to Wayne this week.
Did Wayne have a look at it and go, ooh.
They'll put an offer to Wayne this week, and I think they're hopeful they'll knock it over really quickly. But that's one to keep an eye on this week. And Latrell will definitely be named at fullback, I'm told, this week. So there's a bit of talk, obviously, about him moving to centre, but looks like he'll definitely named at fullback with Jai Gray being injured.
It
so
would have been interesting to see what happened if they...
He would have been in the centres. If Jai Gray was fit, he would have been named in the centres.
Bum for that kid, because he looks like he's got something, doesn't he? So,
he does. Yeah.
Gentlemen, that's the Monday Scrum. Thank you for that. Have a good week. Have a good week. And, enjoy the footy.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener. Thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.